And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Del Quentin Wilbur got his undergraduate degree from Northwestern University's Middle School of Journalism in 1997. He stumbled into his first story, a massive fish kill in the waterways of Maryland's Eastern Shore. He lived out of a suitcase, writing in drab motels, but it turned out to be a great story, and it hooked him on journalism forever. He is a recovering former collegiate baseball player. Wilbur joined the staff of the Baltimore Sun after landing one of the Sun's prestigious two-year internships. Before long, he was given a full-time position involving crime in the suburban Bureau, and in 2001, the paper's editors tapped him to cover crime in the city. Wilbur's work as a police reporter received national recognition when he won the Al Nakula Award for Police Reporting in 2004. Wilbur joined the staff of the Washington Post in 2004 and became the D.C. police reporter. He became the paper's national aviation writer as well. To better understand the industry, he became a licensed private pilot. He got the idea to write Rawhide down shortly after attending a hearing for John W. Hinckley, Jr., and being handed the would-be assassin's gun by an FBI agent who kept it in his drawer. As a boy in Massachusetts, Del became obsessed with the Boston Red Sox, in part because his grandfather, Del Wilbur, played for the Red Sox as a backup catcher in the 1950s. Del now lives in the Washington, D.C. area with his wife, who's an NPR correspondent, and their two sons. Welcome to the show, Del. How are you doing today?
It's great to be here, Bill.
Thank you so much for being here and written a great book, Rawhide Down, The Near Assassination of Ronald Reagan. Of course, you're broadcasting into Reagan country. We have the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library here. But the thing that I remarked about the book is it reads like fiction. If you didn't know that this was a true story, you might think that this is a Tom Clancy novel. You really would. I mean, what surprised you most about writing and reporting on this story?
That what you think you know about what happened, you don't know. You know, I couldn't get over how I was surprised at almost every fact I dug up throughout the entire experience. It's, you know, from why the Secret Service agents reacted so quickly to save Reagan's life, to the fact that trauma care was only evolving in that hospital where he was taken only became a certified trauma center 2 years before he was shot, to the fact that Ronald Reagan rewrote by hand the speech he delivered just to the hours before he was shot. I mean, all of it, the whole day surprised me. It's pretty incredible to write a story about a day. And you mentioned that it reads like a novel, it reads like a thriller. And my goal was to write the book in a way that the people who lived that day, when they read it, it was true to them. One, couldn't have any factual errors, they couldn't have any flubs, it couldn't have any, massaging of things. But it had to also read like they were there that day. And so far I've accomplished that. The people who lived it, who have read the book, said, you know what, Del, this is accurate and I feel like I'm there.
I mean, that's high praise indeed. And Adele, I want to come back to some of the things that were surprising. But before we do, it's taken almost 50 years for the Secret Service agents on the President Kennedy detail to write about their experience in a book called The Kennedy Detail. With the Secret Service being so, well, secretive, how did you get the details you needed to be able to write this book?
Well, I fought under the Freedom of Information Act to get several hundred pages of their reports from this day. I got the transcripts and the radio calls of the ride to the hospital, and then I got lucky. I had once I interviewed a former director of the Secret Service at that time, John Simpson, and when I interviewed him, he's very stodgy about giving interviews, doesn't give out many interviews, and I had done a couple fair stories on his son at my former newspaper, the Baltimore Sun, and he remembered that. He goes, you treated my son well, you treated him fairly in the Baltimore Sun, so I'll talk to you. You know, and he said that after a long interview when I asked him, why'd you talk to me? You never interview with anybody. The moment people heard, the Secret Service agents heard I had done an interview with John Simpson, it was like fending them off with a stick. They all were willing to talk to me. They all took the time, you know, and without Jerry Parr, Tim McCarthy, Drew Unruh, all these great agents who were heroic this day, Marianne Gordon, one of the first female agents, the book just would not have been very good. And people ask, why now? Why 30 years after? Why are you doing this book now? Why is it? It's the perfect time to tell a story that's largely been incomplete for three decades, because you can meld the interviews you do with about more than 125 people with the factual record that you were finally able to unearth. 10 years from now, a lot of these voices are going to be gone. You know, 20 years earlier, they wouldn't have talked. It's the sweet spot. It's also the really only time where you can look back and appreciate what this day meant to Reagan, what it meant to the country. You know, Ronald Reagan almost died this day. I mean, really almost died.
Yes, he was on death's door.
Within an inch of his life. And I think my argument is that his survival is as historic for the country as if he had died. You know, it's just the converse of the what happened to Kennedy. You know, and it's truly important to tell this story. I don't think you understand what will happen in Reagan's 8 years as president if you don't understand truly why he survived his 70th.
Well, that's an interesting perspective. We're talking to Del Quinton Wilbur, everybody, author of the book Rawhide Down. Del, for the people who think they know this story, tell us some of the flukish things about it. First of all, it was the sixth bullet that hit Ronald Reagan, and it was almost a fluke that he got hit in the first place. So tell that part of the story for people who think they really know this.
All right, I'm going to set the scene. The level of detail, you know, and reporting it helps you do this. It's March 30th, 1981, 2:27 p.m. Reagan emerges from the VIP entrance of the Washington Hilton Hotel. He's walking towards the limousine. Jerry Parr, the agent, his lead agent's on his left shoulder. 15 feet away from him is John W. Hinckley, Jr. He pulls out his .22 caliber revolver. This is a deranged gunman who thinks shooting Reagan is going to impress Jodie Foster, the actress, okay? He starts shooting. The first bullet hits Jim Brady in the head, the press secretary. The second one hits a D.C. police officer. The way would normally be clear. There should be nothing between him and the president. But Jerry Parr has already started to react. He's grabbed the president, thrown him toward the limousine. The third shot sails high, hits a building across the street. The fourth shot hits a swiveling Tim McCarthy in the chest. Tim McCarthy, not wearing a bulletproof vest, takes a bullet for the president of the United States. They flash behind him. They flash behind the armored door. The fifth bullet hits the armored bulletproof glass. The sixth shot cracks across the driveway. No one knows where it went. Only later do they know that it hit the side quarter panel of the limousine, slipped through a tiny gap between the door and the doorframe, and hit Reagan in the left side, in the left chest, where the bullet became lodged just an inch from his beating heart.
An amazing story. Now, Del, tell us why they chose to come out that particular entrance, because this was a calculated risk on the part of the Secret Service in order to use this entrance.
It was. And what's interesting is, you know, the hotel was designed in the 60s to court and built in the 60s to court, you know, presidents and people as a huge ballroom. And they built even a special VIP entrance that fed into a holding room down below called the bunker. Well, the driveway that they put this VIP entrance on was too narrow and windy to support the continued progress of the limousine, the president's limousine. So they'd have to drop the president off, back up, and reposition it so they could get out in a hurry. And the Secret Service decided this was a risk that was worth taking rather than pulling him into the garage, using a different entrance, or trying to navigate this winding driveway where it could get stuck in an attack. So walking out in the open is less dangerous than these other things. Well, on this day, it turned out to be more dangerous because John Hinckley's there. He shot the president. They take off. You ever seen a presidential motorcade? I mean, they're really long. I mean, yeah. Many, many, many cars long. Well, they were alone. This limousine, Drew Unruh with the agent driving. Jerry Parr's in the back checking out the president. He seems like he's okay. He's checking him out for blood and all this other stuff. The president seems like he's okay. They are alone on Connecticut Avenue, man. Think about that moment. Jerry Parr looks out the window. There's three bodies on the ground. There's a bullet hole in the window. He's checking the president out to see if he's bleeding because has he been shot? What's wrong with him? And they're alone. They have no protection. Jerry Parr gets on the radio and says, Rawhide is okay. Rawhide is okay. That's where I got the title of the book from, because that's his Secret Service code name. And they take off towards the White House as if everything was okay. 30 seconds later, they realize the world has changed.
Without a doubt. Now, in doing the research for this book, Del, it was very amazing, the unsung heroes that emerged from that. Who did you come to admire most and why?
I came to admire the agents, the Secret Service agents who put their life on the line for the president. I came to admire Ronald Reagan. You know, approaching Ronald Reagan is a difficult task. A lot has been written about him, and I was kind of scared. Maybe scared is not the right word, but I was a little
apprehensive,
trepidation. Mm-hmm. But I came to really admire the guy. You know, he had a lot of poise this day. He had those funny one-liners and quips. He kind of laughed at death. You know, he comforted his wife when he was in the dire situation that he was in. He said, honey, I forgot to duck. You know, words that would help calm the country down, too. I came to admire the nurses and the doctors, the medical staff. I think among the unsung heroes are the nurses. I feel that they often don't get the credit they're due. They didn't get the press conference. They weren't hailed as heroes. And I think that they deserve the credit, and they did a great job.
Well, they did. And, of course, Ronald Reagan pulled through. We're talking to Del Quinton Wilbur, everybody, author of the book Rawhide Down, The Near Assassination of Ronald Reagan. And, Del, you actually got to hold the notes that President Ronald Reagan wrote to the nurse at George Washington Hospital on that day. What was the experience like, and did seeing those notes help you in any way steel you for writing this book?
They did. You know, I went to the Reagan Library, which was just a fun experience, and, you know, the notes are not in the actual archives. They're held by the Reagan family, and Mrs. Reagan allowed me to see them. And you could see his handwriting across these pages and actually touch it, you know, and know this is an actual presidential document. You know, this is something Ronald Reagan wrote to these nurses, and it really revealed something about his character, his irrepressible, incorrigible desire to entertain people. You know, all in all, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. I'd like to write that scene over from the hotel, you know, send me to L.A. where I can see the air I'm breathing, you know? I mean, this is a funny guy, you know, and he's entertaining them and even asking deep questions like, what does the future hold? You know, and I think that was very revealing. And it was as a researcher, you kind of love moments like that.
Well, it is a fantastic, provocative story. We're talking to Dale Quentin Wilbur, everybody, author of the book Rawhide Down. Dale, what do you want readers to take away from reading Rawhide Down?
That this was a key moment in U.S. history, and that it's the event that recalibrated and redefined Reagan's presidency, and that it's also a day that's probably one of the most dramatic and unscripted in U.S. presidential history. You know, it really is. I mean, this is a day where the life of the president held in the balance of just a few seconds. A few seconds, a few choice decisions, the president lives or he dies. And in this case, he lived. And I think we need to understand those days to be able to understand the history Ronald Reagan made, to understand you know, the history, how that history changed the world in a way. And I think this day has generally not been studied as much as other days in Reagan's presidency because it happened so early in his term. And I feel fortunate to have been the one to get to do it.
Well, it is a great read, Rawhide Down. And I'm going to ask you, as a journalist, also as a researcher for this book, what did you get personally out of writing this book?
You know, I learned a lot. I think I became a better storyteller and a better, you know, I understand I'm a better writer through the experience because it was pretty, writing a book is like giving birth to a truck, I suppose. And it's not an easy experience. And, but at the same time, it's probably the most rewarding professional experience of my career so far. And, you know, I just felt blessed that I got to write a book about a U.S. president in an historic day with the characters who, you know, I came across, I liked all the characters. I mean, how many people get to write a book where they like all their characters or admire them or respect them or find them even intriguing? Al Haig, you know, was not his best day. But I came to admire Al Haig, you know, for being, a guy who really believed he was doing the right thing for the country.
There you go. Dale, one last question before I let you go. In the course of your research, did you learn anything about President Ronald Reagan that changed your view of the former president?
You know, I didn't know much about Ronald Reagan when I started this, but I read a lot about him. I read his memoirs. I read many, many histories about Ronald Reagan. I interviewed many of his advisors. And I came to kind of conclude that, you know, he was underestimated. And I know that a lot of people know that, oh, he was underestimated. But, you know, I just like, you know, he rewrote that. I mean, you know what kind of a kick you get? You're researching a guy, and you're like, oh, I'm going to go check the speech file and see. Maybe there's something in a draft of the speech I can use in my book. And you find his handwritten draft. He rewrote the draft of a routine speech to a trade union. He was in the Screen Actors Guild. That was important to him, all that stuff. I get it. But he rewrote it, okay? And that says a lot about a guy. That says a lot about a leader, that he'd be willing to put the effort into something like that. And that's what surprised me.
Wow. We've been talking to Dale Quentin Wilbur, everybody, author of the book Rawhide Down, The Near Assassination of Ronald Reagan. Dale, if people are fascinated by the story, the way in which you tell it, they want to learn more about you, they want to learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
www.rawhidedown.com.
Rawhidedown.com.
Find all kinds of great stuff on there, even interviews Reagan gave about the shooting and video and, you know, an excerpt of the book you can check out. And, you know, I hope that people are excited. I'd love to see people turn out for the April 4th event at the Reagan Library. They can learn more about me there. When I'm on April 4th, I'd love to have more than four people show up.
Well, there will be more than four people at the Ronald Reagan Library. You can be sure of that in Simi Valley. Dale, thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.